Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning. We're going to read Psalm 1 this morning. We'll read all six verses of Psalm 1. The book of Psalms, Psalm 1 this morning. In honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet with me as we read together Psalm 1. I will read aloud as you read silently. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning, the passage that we've read. Now, Father, I pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Power for coming and speaking to us this morning. God, strengthen his body, help him this morning. God, but more importantly, help us. We need to hear from heaven today. God, use this passage to speak to our hearts, to make us better Christians. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know for sure they are a Christian, if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their payment for their sin, God, I pray this morning they would settle that before they leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we're going to make sure that our cell phones are turned off or to vibrate. If it goes off during the service, I'm going to come and kiss you flush on the jaw and give you exactly what I have today. So, though that may be a treat, let's not do that, all right? Just make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. You will help us tremendously. I could sell tickets. What are you talking about? Knock it off. And I'm going to ask you now to sit still and listen very carefully for these next few moments. This psalm is a tremendous psalm. Look at the end of verse 3. The word prosper is mentioned. Look at the end of verse 6. The word perish is mentioned. Do you realize, dear people, first time I read Psalm 1, I thought he was talking about two different kinds of people. Those who will prosper and those who will perish. But in reality, he's talking about one person. But you have two choices. Either to prosper as God says you would and should, or to perish. That means have everything go away. And you and I will make that decision. But you know, I was reading this. In fact, I was quoting it to myself the other day. Tremendous passage to commit to memory. And I got to that verse 3, the first part of the verse, and it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I'm afraid what we look at is the prosperity, and there's so much today that is taught to Christians and made of this prosperity stuff. Blab it and grab it, say it and pay it, guys. You know, go around telling you how you can get all the stuff you want out of God. Hogwash. Hogwash. God is not Santa Claus. And he is not subject to our whims and our wishes. And there is no point at 1, 2, 3, you say this, God will give you everything you wanted. And the foolishness of people to believe that is really sad. That does not discount that the Bible says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, however. But the prosperity of that statement in verse number 3 comes from he shall be like a tree. When you think of a tree, what do you think of? Permanence. The word I want to use this morning is the word stability. We've been talking these Sunday mornings now. We had an interruption last week with our good friend, Brother Robinson, with us. We've been talking these last several weeks about biblical answers to life's issues. We live in an unstable, uncertain world, don't we? This business in Fort Hood and this man, one of their own, shooting down innocent people. How it happened in Florida also. By the way, our own president got on the, stood in front of the White House and started laying it out about the issues of guns. It's not an issue of guns. There are 30,000 gun deaths in America every year. 16,000 of them are suicides. 12,000 of them are murders. 60% of those are related to drugs and crime. But there are 100,000 alcohol-related deaths in America. I don't see anybody standing up having a fit about booze. And how that alcohol is the scourge of this nation. 100,000 deaths a year related to alcohol in this country. By the way, most of the murders committed in America, 30% of those are alcohol-related. Now you listen to me. We live in an uncertain day today. How do we find stability in our lives when things are changing so much and things in our own lives are changing with the uncertainty of national issues and international issues? But if we bring it home to our own homes and our own lives, finding stability, something permanent that lasts. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In that one statement there in verse number 3 of the book of Psalms, you see permanence. He shall be like a tree that planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You see productivity. His leaf also shall not wither. That's protection. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, perpetuity. Whatsoever you do, God's hand will be upon that. Now get the monetary figure out of your mind and get the materialism thinking out of your mind. I'm not saying that's not a part of that. I'm just saying that's not the issue. The issue is this. See, the prosperity of verse 3 is really the byproduct of stability. Having something real and permanent in your life. We first moved to our house where we now live. We planted a willow tree. I love willow trees. They're beautiful. We planted a willow tree in our front yard. Unbeknownst to us, I'm not that knowledgeable in those things then. I'm a little better at it now. But unbeknownst to us, it was an area cut out in the center of the lawn. Planted the tree, and then the tree got watered by the sprinkler system. Well, the willow tree is notorious for shallow roots. And if you have surface water, the roots will just stay right on the surface. That's why you see a lot of willow trees are strapped and tied down. And that thing grew and got beautiful and tall and had the beautiful branches that hung over, and it looked like a weeping willow. One day in a rainy storm that came in early before the leaves fell off, I looked out there and that tree was laying on the ground. And I went out there, and the taproot that holds the tree had just corkscrewed right underneath the tree at the base of that tree. And I could literally take that tree and pick the whole thing up, and the roots just came right up out of the ground. And I've got in that place today, I have planted redwoods, blue Aptos redwoods. Now, you couldn't knock those things over with a semi-truck. And the roots are deep. There's a stability to this thing about he shall be like a tree. Can I ask you a question this morning? You have an uncertainty about life, an uncertainty about where you are in your life, what's going on with you in your life today. The answer to uncertainty is stability, God's stability. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So you have access to the source that will keep a tree living and going forever. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, a long, long time, do you realize what an amazing thing it is that we in an uncertain time can have certainties? That we live in a day where people have questions, we have answers. Where people wonder, But we don't have to wonder about how things will be. We know how they'll be. We don't have to wonder about world events. We know exactly how it's going. Everything is on schedule. Everything is on time. All things have come together now. All the prophecies are fulfilled before the return of Jesus Christ. We're just waiting for the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ to rise first, and we which are alive and remain to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We know what this all means. We know what the trouble of the Middle East means. We know what the unrest of this world means. We know that it all shapes up and prepares the things for the return of Jesus Christ. And that's good news for the child of God this morning. So we don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to wait and look at the headlines to know how's the unemployment rate going? How's the stock market look? How's the financial market going? How are things with the housing starts today in America? What about job situations? What about this and what about that? We don't have to stand and scratch our heads and wonder, is there going to be something come my way that's going to provide for me, or am I like a tree planted by the rivers of water? Do we have biblical stability in our life? See, look at me. See, Christians today, too many of them are just as uncertain as the world because we're just like the world. Hey, it's a trade-off, friend. You want worldly Christianity that looks like the world, talks like the world, acts like the world, thinks like the world, embraces the philosophies of the world? You get the troubles of the world. You get the uncertainty of the world. The Bible says that the things of this world pass away. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 17. That means they're continual in a flux. They're continually in a flux. They're continually passing off. You know, you see how it works with clothing fashions. Don't throw any stuff away. Just put it in mothballs and put it in the attic. 25 years from now, they'll be wearing that again. They'll think it's brand new, and you go, I wore that when I was 14. It'll be all be coming around again because things just, they continue to go in cycles, but they continue to change all the time. But unfortunately for the world, that is true to what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's better and best. They can't make up their mind what they believe. And Christians today who attach themselves to the system of that world are as uncertain as the world is today. But the child of God, my friend, if we follow biblical principles and live by them, we shall be like a tree. But look at this. Look in Psalm 1. The guy in verse 4 to 6, same person, just a matter of choices now. The ungodly are not so, verse 4, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Straw that just blows around. Look at me. Every bit of wind of change just sends them this way, sends them that way. They're all content and happy the way their life is to go to work tomorrow. Pink slip. Uh-oh, what in the world's going on? Child of God is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Might lose their job, but has the certainty of God's provision and protection and God watching over them in their life. See, it's different for us. If you're rooted the way you're supposed to be, friend, the wind doesn't blow you around. You stand to that wind. I'm always amazed at these hurricanes that come up that Gulf Coast. And there's some skinny, nasty-looking palm trees out there in the middle of the sand, bent over like this in 120-mile-an-hour winds. And when it's over, they got boats in downtown Tampa Bay, but they got palm trees standing out there in the sand. It's amazing what those trees can put up with. See, if we're rooted correctly, we have stability. If we're not, we're in trouble. We are either chaff or trees. There aren't two people in Psalm 1. Same person. The guy that's like a tree in verse number 3, it's because he follows the path to stability. That's verse 1 and 2, as we'll see in a moment. The person who's like chaff and driven about by wind, he's the person who decides, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. And hey, you know what? It just kind of goes that way. I'll never forget when we were in India and driving down the highways there. There's always crops and growing alongside the roads and the highways. And they would take their crops and instead of separating the rice and separating the things by hand or whatever, they'd throw them out in the road and let the trucks and the cars run them over. And then they'd run out between the cars and scoop up the grain. You'd see them. They'd be standing beside the road. They'd pile stuff up. And the first time I saw, we're driving down the road, there's all these piles of vegetation laying in the road. And I thought, what in the world is that all about? And then I saw the people standing beside the road. They got their little basket in their hand. Truck would go by. They'd run out there, scoop up some, jump back beside the road. And that's the way they do it. Well, that's the way a lot of people are today. They're standing beside the road of life with their little basket in their hand. They threw their life out there on the road hoping somebody good will come along and run over for it real good and separate some things so they can run out and get a few handfuls. But he shall be like a tree, not chaff. But there's a road to stability. It doesn't just happen. Look at verse 1. There are some, look, it's very basic, ladies and gentlemen. There are some things you can't do, and there are some things you can do. There are some, look at me, there are some things you should not do, and there are some things that you should do. That's the road to being like a tree. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Can't do that. Look at me. Can't do that. Do that, you become like chaff. Do what it says there. Avoid what it says. Avoid what the Word of God says. Turn from the Bible, you become like chaff blown about by every wind. But if you'll follow this thing and realize you do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you do not stand in the way of sinners, you do not sit in the seat of the scornful, you're on the path to becoming like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Verse 2, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now look at verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. See, it attaches that verse. That tree principle, that stability principle is attached to, will you do verse 1? Will you follow verse 1? Heed verse 1 and 2. If you do so, you'll be like a tree. And the wind will blow, you'll stand. Times will change, you'll stand. Philosophies will change, you'll stand. The winds of adversity blow, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, rooted, grounded, everything will be fine. You'll have stability in your life. We're not attached to this world. And if our lives are, I guarantee you we're in a constant, constant state of concern and worry about our lives. So what is it that we cannot do? I want you to follow the principle here. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here's the principle. Walking, standing, sitting. What has happened? This person has stopped their progress. They're not heading the direction they're supposed to be heading. They went from walking to standing to sitting. They've stopped. When the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But there's no standing and there's no sitting. When God gives you the strength, you should be going forward in your life. Our lack of stability comes because, ladies and gentlemen, we start to walk in the counsel of people who are ungodly. Counsel is advice. You listen to what the world says. You let people who deny the Bible tell you how to think. Guess what that does? You walk with them. That means you start to agree with it. Well, I'm not so sure it's so right or wrong about this issue or that issue. After all, I mean, a lot of people think this is good. A lot of people think it's bad. Oh, excuse me. Get ready, my chaff friend, to get blown about the wind of popular change and political correctness. We don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Someone denies what the Word of God says, we dismiss that. We don't follow that advice. We don't listen to what they tell us. We're not going to buy that junk. We're not even going to adhere to it. I'm not even going to be willing to offer it as a viable opinion. Many a Christian has been ruined by this idea of tolerance and acceptance. I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm dead sure not talking about some racist attitudes. I am definitely talking about this idea of, well, after all, you know, they have their right to believe what they want to believe. They do have a right to believe what they want to believe. But if it's against the Bible, it's wrong. Period. That's how it is. That's how it is today. That's how it is tomorrow. That's how it's going to be next week. That's just the way it is. That's a stubborn, stiff-necked attitude, Pastor Johnson. No, it's called I'm not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. The world is not going to tell me how to live, how to think, how to talk, how to act, and what I'm supposed to do. And if you do that, friend, guess what happens? You go from walking in the counsel of the ungodly to standing in the way of sinners. Standing in the way of sinners simply means I stand and just watch the way they're going. You know, you got to watch those stupid Hollywood news things about who's in bed with who and who's transvestite, homosexual, sex change operation, boyfriend was now their girlfriend. And, you know, you want to watch all, you get those little stupid magazines in the newspaper, you know, about Elvis's Nazi alien baby married Michael Jackson or something, you know. You read that kind of stuff, honestly, you're crippled too high for crutches. Seriously. And even if people are interested in stuff like that, I always think to myself, what is the matter with people? You got, who cares what these people do? Seriously, who cares? Does it really make any difference? Who cares? Is it really important? Well, they're making a lot of money. Yeah, they're making money off dumb people like you who buy those papers, who tell you about, come on, man. No, look here. We're standing in the way of sinners. Now, notice this. It's not saying that they sin. They stand in the way sinners go. Well, because you have to get there before they can get you to go the direction that they're going. And the only way that works is because you've been walking in their counsel. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, who says homosexuality is wrong? God does. The Bible does. Who says there's something wrong with marijuana? After all, it's organic. Well, then smoke a dandelion. Unbelievable. You look at me, you bunch of old hippies from the 60s. I used to be one of you. And I remember a lot about the 60s because of that. But you know the truth of the matter is, give me that junk. Oh, I got a foot pain, I have to smoke medical marijuana. Yeah, right, sure, pal. Yeah, you and Lay's potato chips are making a fortune. But the truth is, from the munchies, you'll get that by slow frame. The truth is, you know, it's amazing how we stand in the way of sinners. And after all, we're not so sure what we think's right or wrong any longer. Oh. And then we go from standing in the way of sinners. We sit in the seat of the scornful. Seat is a place of authority. Now, we'll actually sit there and listen to these people tell us, well, the Bible's not, you know, what's the Bible? It's an old antiquated book. Oh, antiquated? No. Eternal? Yes. And the only book that's God's Word. In the final authority in all matters of faith and practice for anybody that's got any sense. Excuse me, but I did that dance before. Excuse me. I was raised in a public school system. I was taught humanism. I had history teachers when I was in public school that told me that communism was a viable philosophy by which society should consider to operate. Yeah, I've been there, done that. I was in public school when environmentalism first came, graduated in 1971. They started having Earth Day. I had Earth Day every day when I was a kid. Had it all over me. Hugged a lot of trees. It's the only way you can climb them. Big tree hugger. Earth Day. All these people down in Hollywood driving their Rolls Royces and flying in their private jets, living in wooden houses, griping about cutting down trees from their redwood deck. Huh? Yeah, I'll get impressed with these guys when they go out and live in a pup tent and eat roots and berries. Until then, that's Hebrew for I ain't buying it, I ain't even written it. Nah, but we sit in the sea of the scornful. In other words, we're sitting in a place where the authority that questions the Word of God has now become our authority. Now, don't do that, the Bible says. Because you'll go from walking to standing to sitting. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You can't make any progress from a seated place. Did you know that? I was raised by my grandparents for a good portion of my life. My grandfather's a construction worker, superintendent, built the first mall in California. He'd give us a job to do, and he'd go out in the backyard after we were out there working for a while. He'd come out there, and there we'd be sitting on the grass pulling weeds. You know what he'd say, don't you? Can't do anything sitting down. Get up. He would sit, pull a weed, scoot over, pull a weed, scoot over. So you can't get anything done sitting down. Stand up. 10-year-old didn't have the energy to pull a few weeds without having to sit down first. Kind of like teenagers have to sleep 82 hours a day in order to survive. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? You know what, ladies and gentlemen? You can't make progress from a seated position. And guess what you are at that point? You're shaft waiting for the next wind to blow you around. Nope, can't do that. But here's what you can do, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now look at that statement. That's very important. Delight in the law of the Lord. Now, when the Bible calls itself the law of the Lord, it's not talking about the Old Testament law. It's talking about the obedience that I must have to the law of God's Word. In other words, driving to church this morning, speed limit sign said 35 mile an hour speed limit. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you do 34 miles an hour, they should execute you on the spot. Unless traffic or weather conditions do not allow it, you go into 35, somebody ought to shoot you. Right there, and it ought to be me. Somebody ought to shoot you right there. Speed limit means no slower than 35. The limit. That's what it says. Limit. Traffic or weather, of course, you drive slower. But if it's clear and dry, friend, you're doing 34, you're breaking the law. The limit is 35. Don't go under that thing. Say, what about over? Don't interrupt me when I'm preaching. Now, the truth is, when I see that sign, I know what that means. I'm not supposed to go over 35 miles an hour. That's the limit. That's the law. S-T-O-P. Like this crossing over here, the new railroad crossing. All these signs, stop here, stop here. Do not park on track. Stop here, stop here, stop here. Do not go across the track. Stop here, stop here. I can't tell you how many times I sit there and watch people just go and pull right on through that thing. I was pulled up the other day, and there was a lady sitting on the tracks. And I sit there and I go, how many signs I got to put up, for goodness sakes? Stop here, big arrow. Stop here. It's the law. Now, let me ask you a question. It does not say he obeys the law. It says he delights in the law of the Lord. Oh, I love Texas. Out there in El Paso, Texas. Between El Paso, Texas and nowhere, which is just about anywhere around El Paso, Texas, the speed limit is either 75 or 80 miles an hour. Yeah, buddy. So you like driving on that freeway? Sure do. So you get to drive the speed limit. No, I get to drive without guilt. But the truth is, it's out there. It's flat because Texas, God made it and stomped on it. I mean, it's just flat. And it just goes for miles, so they jacked up the speed limit because there's such a long, straight way to go. And what they did was they lit, and I like that. Oh, man, I got me a rental car one time. I was driving from El Paso up to New Mexico somewhere, and I got a rental car, and I got out there on the freeway, and I saw that speed limit sign. I went, yeah! My favorite one, the Autobahn in Germany. Now you're talking. No speed limit. And I was there with a missionary preaching. He said, you want to drive on the Autobahn? I go, yeah, you want to drive on the Autobahn? Sure, I want to drive on the Autobahn. He rented a brand new Audi sports car. 5-speed. I got that thing up to 240 kilometers per hour. It's about 140 miles an hour. I had it floored. I had it in fifth gear. We were going down the Autobahn, just zoom. Brother Hornbeck, our missionary, goes, you might want to back off that just a little bit like that. We were blown by those Mercedes, but I mean, just whoom down that freeway. Oh, it was beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, the front end of that car was starting to take off. I thought, yes, get the landing gear up. We're off on this thing, right? We're going to fly this thing down the freeway. Beautiful. I loved the law of the Autobahn. Question. You love the Bible telling you what to do? It says he delights in it. He delights in the law of God. The path to stability is found by not walking in the counsel of God and not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of the scorner, and loving the Bible telling you what to do. You delight in that. Oh, man, I don't get to do that. That's wonderful. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. I don't get to do that either. Okay, that's fine. I get to do this. Okay, that's good too. And you delight in the law of God. It's more than just putting up with it. It's more than this attitude of, oh, no, man, where did he come up with that one? That's not delighting in the law of God. That's tolerating the law of God. Excuse me. Stability is found when my heart delights in the Bible being my law. The guidance, the direction, the limits, the yes, the no, the can, the cannot, all of it, I delight in that so much. Well, that provides stability in your life. Puts a knot in the knickers of this politically correct world, but friend, it is a stable way of life. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditation is not one of those shave your head, wear orange pajamas, airport things. Meditation means it gets to the heart. Hey, look here, look here. It's more than up here, it's right here. It becomes something I think about. The word meditation here is the expression of a cow chewing his cud, her cud. Cows, and old guy cows. Pretty sad, isn't it? Like seeing a female bull, ain't one of those either. It's an expression of a cow chewing cud. They take they eat the grain or the hay or whatever. They take it into one stomach, bring it up, chew it, put it into the other stomach. They have to have the cud to live, and they chew the cud. It's essential to their digestion, their health, and their strength. Guess what? You take the Word of God. Look here. You take the Word of God from here to here. It gets here. And if you delight in it, that's not a problem. And the Word of God gets here. And you think on it. And you realize how important this is to my life. Those two simple yeses with the three no's put you on the path to he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We lack stability in our life, ladies and gentlemen, because we decide, well, okay, that's the way it says, but I'm going to do it my way. Then prepare to be chaff. Blown about by every wind of doctrine, you'll never get answers straightened out. You'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You'll always have questions and never get the answers right. You'll spend your entire life. Now look at me. And the problem is this. You can't get to the end of your life and go, oops. You can't do that. Because you don't get to start over again. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There is no reincarnation. We got one shot at this life, and that's all we have. We can't get to the end and go, man, I shouldn't have done that. No, that's too late. And there's no reason to make mistakes with our life and experiment with the life God has given you. That's not how it works. We don't have to get blown about by the winds of doctrine and religion. We know what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We get saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save us, and that's how we're saved. We're not saved by baptism. We're not saved by church membership. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by the death of Jesus Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. That is salvation. I put my trust in Christ. God saves me. That's how it works. So I have to get blown about every wind of doctrine. Well, there's Christianity. There's Islam. There's this. There's that. The Bible is the way. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. The Bible is the answer. It is spirit. It is life. It is bread. It is milk. It is seeds. It is water. It is foundation. God takes us up out of that old miry clay, sets our feet upon a rock, and establishes our going, and put a new song in our mouth. That's what the Bible becomes. It becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It gives us that which we must have. Gives us the direction we must need in our lives, and we need to have if we're willing to take the path to stability. And he shall be like a tree. Things will come and go. The tree will stand. And so will you, friend, if you'll heed and follow what the Word of God tells you to do and not get caught up in just being another piece of the shaft that gets blown about by every wind of change that comes down the road today. Stability. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you? Heads bowed and eyes closed today.